I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. A new report out this week focuses on a very serious problem facing the U.S. military, suicide. The report is titled Losing the Battle. It highlights not only the personal costs to families, but also the risks for the military and the nation. We're going to speak with one of the report's authors in a few minutes. First, though, we're going to hear one soldier's story. Colin Kilcoyne from Northborough, Massachusetts, joined the military when he was 17 years old. He volunteered for the infantry. And in 2007, he was deployed to Iraq as part of President Bush's surge. But when Colin returned 15 months later, he was a changed man. He was troubled by what he had seen and done. In January of this year, Colin took his life. He was 25 years old. Colin's mother, Kathy, is in the studio with us now. Thank you very much for coming in. And I'm eager to hear what Colin was like when he was young, before he went to Iraq. It sounds like he was a pretty ambitious guy to join the military at age 17.
He always liked the military. I mean, he was always fascinated by history, and he constantly read about it. And, you know, we would have to tell him to turn off the History Channel. It was one of those kids that was never in front of, you know, other programs, like, just turn off the History Channel for a while. But the thing is, he loved history. He loved reenacting. It was a big part of his life.
Reenacting and, being?
Actually, he was a British foot guard, His Majesty's First Foot Guards. He started that when he was 12 years old. And he used to, you know, reenact living history. He had a wonderful time with it, and he made great friends in it, and some of them end up in the military with him. He continued on to National Guards with a member, Chris Cunningham, and they ended up in Iraq together, too. They ended up going full military.
I've got to say that it sounds like he was a pretty serious guy, but I've seen the pictures. He was pretty funny.
Oh, he had a wonderful sense of humor. He was a character. I mean, he was your normal kid. I mean, he was not a saint. You know, he was a good person, had a wonderful heart.
Not a saint, meaning?
He would get in trouble when he was a devil at times, and he was, you know, a joker, and, you know, he was an all-around boy. He loved life. He had a wonderful time.
One of the things that guys and women who go over there want immediately is the combat medal, especially for infantry. And he and his comrades got it after the first night.
The first night they landed in a firefighter. Yes, a direct fire. And he was very proud of that medal. In fact, to tell you the truth, that's the only military item we buried him with, was his combat infantry badge.
Can you tell us what happened that night, meaning the first night when they landed?
Well, they were in a firefight, and he was a machine gunner at that point. And what he did was he saw a man plant. They were explosive devices were being planted, and so he was actually in a battle, and he did fire and kill the man that was planting the explosives. And the next day, they had to go off base and, you know, justify why it was done. And he actually said he went and got the shovel and brought it back and said this is why he was killing that. But one of the things Colin told me at the time was, later when he was home, was he felt very badly because when he went out, the first man he killed, he said, Mom, he said, I felt so bad. It wasn't a clean shot. He said, that poor guy didn't die right away. And he felt badly about that, thinking he must have suffered that night. And he said to me later, it was a big regret of his that he said, I wish I, you know, it had got a clean hit. And I never understood what he meant for a long time. And then he just said to me, Mom, you know, he bled to death, you know. And so enemy forces were shooting at him, he still felt bad about thinking the other way, you know, what this man went through. And one of the other great things you talked about later was he felt terrible about the children of the parents he had killed. He said in terms of, you know, how they survive in that dirt poor country.
Colin came back to Fort Stewart on July 4th of 2008. How about in terms of the help that they needed? Psychiatrically, mental help, counseling help. Was any available there?
Not at the time. What they did was they brought these kids home. Guys that had a place or family off base were allowed to go off base, and these kids were left here to sort of unstructured, no schedule for a few days. And unfortunately, I think what it was self-medicating with beer, booze, whatever, in terms of they were supposed to take classes the following week, and they referred to them all jokingly as don't beat your wife classes. And what it was supposed to be just post-traumatic stress guidance counseling, and they spoke about things. But the one thing that they were told at the time was, you know, don't forget, you know, if you want to stay in the Army and you want to be an officer and be promoted, you know, these things don't look good on your record. So don't...
You mean getting counseling?
Getting counseling.
Before the day that Colin took his own life this past January, was there any kind of spiral down, or did this seem to come out of nowhere for you?
The cycles were off and on. I mean, in terms of, I mean, he was at one point, you know, a few months before that, what he had said, he had worked his mechanic days, and he said, my days are great. I just can't stand the nights. I can't take the nightmares. And so, I mean, as far as when he was busy and working, things were better. I mean, when he kept focused. But, I mean, he had moments where, like, he'd get a thing on his Facebook or whatever, and he'd go into a spiral, and you'd see really, oh, my God, it was the anniversary. The four guys got killed. I can't believe I forgot it was today. How could I ever forget? That was the worst day. And when he was with my son-in-law at that point, he mentioned to me, well, I think that's a sign of improvement, Carl, that you didn't think about it right away today. That shows things are getting better. And he goes, no. No one ever should forget a day like that. So that went to a spiral at that point when he remembered, you know, the four friends that were killed.
Where, do you mind if I ask how he died?
He shot himself in the lower level of Caitlin's home. She went out that night with her husband, and he had been living with his sister. She was wonderful to him. And he lived, you know, had a great time. He loved them. He stayed there basically for the last year, a full year. He was moved in with her, and he sort of joked about it. They gave my husband a surprise birthday party. He sort of told her that day, it was a year ago that summer, oh, by the way, Kate, I think I'm going to give my formal notice. I'm moving into your basement today, you know. And she had a family room downstairs and a bedroom for him and things like that. And that's where he stayed.
How are you and your husband doing now?
You have good days and you have bad days. I mean, in terms of, we have a lot of wonderful memories. And like I said, the last 2 years were a blessing. We were lucky to have them. And that gives us strength. But the frustration level, when I see, you know, the president speaking on TV and talking about different things, I just think, oh, you don't have a clue. You know, they don't understand. Or they talk about, you know, I look at these vets, these poor guys. Even when I go down the street and I see the homeless now, I keep looking and think, we have a whole new generation of homeless vets coming up. We're looking at our friends that were in Vietnam that are still struggling. Or at Collin's wake, we had soldiers come that were Green Berets in Vietnam that were men we respect, and they said, we've been getting counseling for the last few years. And these were guys that served 30 years ago.
Does it get you upset that you make the sacrifice, he made the sacrifice, your family has, and others don't?
Well, I think it's an, I don't think it's a, it doesn't upset me as much as the fact, I think that we have to realize it was a privilege in some ways that he was that good and that we really didn't, you know, didn't quite understand the depth of his loyalty at times. But I think in terms of, that's what makes this country continue. It's the boys just like him. All of his friends were the same way. They all volunteered for the infantry. This is not a draft army. They all knew what they were walking into and they accepted it. At times they would say they were angry at how things were going, but it was their choice. And I'm sure if we could do it all over again, it would be the exact same path.
Okay. Kathy Kilcoyne, whose son Colin served 15 months in Iraq from 2007 to 2008. He took his life in January of this year. It's very good to have you here and talk to you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Lisa.